As a business and leadership mentor, wife, and mom, I know that building a legacy business as a high-performing female entrepreneur can be overwhelming when you play many demanding roles in your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be a powerful, high performer in your career, plus enjoy a fulfilling marriage and be a great mom all at the same time. Join me and my guests every week to get the inside scoop on what it really looks like to build a high growth business while living a life truly aligned with your family and personal values. Well, 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 what a topic we have today. I bet you're wondering, what on earth is she talking about with today's episode, showing goats? Well, you are going to get an inside look into a little bit of Megan Huber's history when it comes to goats. Yes, I am talking about real goats. Goats, you guys, goats. They're amazing animals. Didn't grow up around them, but we're going to talk about goats today. Before I dive in to my goat shenanigans, let's start with a little bit of a life update. It's been a little while since I've updated you on all the happenings of the Hubers. I'll keep it short. We have had quite the beginning of the year. At the time I'm recording this, it is the very beginning of March 2024. And February, I shouldn't say didn't go as planned, but February didn't go as planned. My husband, Sean, many of you know who Sean is. Sean has been in a whole lot of back pain, all sorts of back issues, has probably only slept in the bed. I mean, he didn't start sleeping back in the bed until our bed, I don't know, 2 or 3 nights ago. The entire month of February, the poor guy has been sleeping in a chair, lots of back issues. It all started at the very beginning of February, and his back was bothering him a little bit, just like any of us. You know, we work out, we do things, we're moving around. We do sit a lot throughout the day because we're on Zoom a lot working with clients. And, you know, he just wanted to go get a back adjustment. So goes and gets a back adjustment from a chiropractor. Don't think it did what he wanted it to do. In fact, I think it got a little bit worse. And so the next day it was worse, and he decided, I think he went to another chiropractor, didn't get any better. In fact, I think it got worse. Then he went and got some deep tissue massage work the very next day. So like 3 days in a row of work, and everything's like literally just making it worse. And one morning, and this was about a month ago now, he wakes up at 4:15, 4:30 in the morning, and he cannot move. He literally cannot roll over, can't lift his hips up, can't get out of bed. And he and I are two adults trying to figure out, how on earth are we going to get you out of bed? Mind you, he's in a whole lot of pain too. So it wasn't like this was funny. It was very, very painful. So it took us an hour to figure out how to get him out of bed. And then we've got a friend who is a physical therapist, and they've got ultrasound machines and all types of things. So he goes there a couple of days later, and it's pretty clear that one of his discs or vertebrae are out of place in his lower back. And so they're doing some treatment for that. Now we're, I don't know, at the end of the first week of February, the beginning of the second week of February, sleeping in a chair, in so much pain, icing, heating, all sorts of types of ointments all over his back. And we bought a TENS unit, everything under the sun we could figure out how to do. And it's getting a little better, getting a little better, getting a little better. He's starting to be himself again, but still very uncomfortable when he's lying down. So last week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, he starts telling me that now his back is spasming on the left side of his back. So like tons of muscle spasms. If you've ever had those, they are excruciatingly painful. And then he started having trouble breathing. And I think on like the second day of having trouble breathing, I'm like, Sean, this is just not normal. Like, I know you're in shape. You take really great care of yourself. Sean takes a whole lot of supplements. He's really in tune with his body. He usually really knows what's going on. And I said, but this is not normal. Like, it's not normal for someone like you and your condition and your level of health to be feeling this way and in so much pain that it's not going away. Like nothing you're doing is working anymore. Like it might work for a minute and then like it's not working the other minutes of the day. And you know, it's just not normal. So Friday morning, this was just a few days ago, Friday, he comes into the bedroom because, you know, he's not sleeping in our bedroom. And he goes, you're gonna have to take me to urgent care. I got to go to urgent care. And I'm like, hallelujah, let's go to urgent care. So we go to urgent care. We end up being in urgent care for probably 5 hours. And this wasn't just any old urgent care. This is an urgent care that's more like, it almost looks like an emergency room when you're on the inside and it's pretty big and it's nice. You kind of feel like you're at the emergency room at the hospital. And so they're running all kinds of tests. Sean has had a heart attack before. So they're running EKGs and things to check his heart. Sean has had cancer before. So obviously they're going to check for that. They are taking all kinds of blood samples. He's got IVs in both arms and in his hand. So three different places, they're taking blood. They're checking all these levels, doing x-rays, doing CT scans, you name it, they're doing it. And they find some stuff in a lung. And the guy is like, I've never even seen this before. I don't know what's going on. And then there was a certain level, it's called a D-dimer that they were testing for, which if the D-dimer level is really high, that usually means you might have blood clots, could indicate cancer, could indicate like a couple of like not good things, like very life-threatening. So they're like starting to get very alarmed. And I had been waiting. I didn't go back in the room with Sean. So I'm waiting and he's like calling me back there, you know, getting upset. You know, this is not the first, you know, Sean's had cancer. Sean's had a heart attack. He's had a hip replacement. He's had a lot of things go on in, you know, the last 20 years, really like 20 years. And so you always kind of think, oh no, like, am I going to have cancer again? Oh no, am I having a heart attack again? And your mind does kind of go to the worst of the worst. It's a very emotional thing to go through. If you've ever gone through that type of experience with yourself or with a spouse or with a child or a parent. And so they're pretty alarmed about this D-dimer level, which was through the roof. It should be as close to zero as possible. Sean's was at 5,000, 8,000, and like your prognosis doesn't look good. Well, come to find out, he has pneumonia. And that is the reason why his back was hurting, because what they were seeing in his lungs was fluid. So he has bacterial pneumonia. And you can imagine what my life has been like for the last month. So it's just a very busy season for us. It's a very full season. Brighton, our daughter, who is 13, is in six different extracurricular activities throughout the year. And all six of them happen in the month of February. It's the only month where all six of the activities that she's involved with happen all at one time. So there's a lot of carting her around and taking care of her. She was a little under the weather at the beginning of February. And we have a new puppy who's not even 4 months old. So you can imagine what that is like. And he's like a sheepdog. So you can imagine what that is like. Doesn't like to sit still. So we've got that going on. Sean, you know, there were days when he couldn't even put on shoes and socks, let alone do anything else. And we both run businesses. It's just a lot. Thank goodness during that time, right before all this happened, like 2 days before Sean went down with the first back issue, we hired a personal assistant. So we've got a personal assistant coming into our house 2 days a week to do all of our meal prep and cook all of our food. She comes on Mondays and Thursdays. It's amazing. And I'm a believer now. I'm a believer in what they say, that before you go hire people for your business, go hire people for your personal, because that's got to come first. I've never believed that. And I do now. I'm a believer now. Because mama needed some relief. So if you are in a season that is busy, that is unexpected, that is full, just know I believe that God is expanding my capacity and working on me during this time. That is what I believe. So that is a little bit of an update. I'm glad to know Sean has a prognosis. I think mentally it's a very draining when things are not operating the way that you know that they should. And you don't know what's wrong. That is a very scary place to be. And it can really play tricks on your mind. And I'll be honest, I've been angry. I've been irritated. I've been frustrated because I also like to kind of do my thing. And I like to do my thing the way I like to do my thing. And when I get kind of thrown off of that rhythm, then I get very bothered by that. So That is a place I have been in for the last month. So know that you're not alone if you are going through something like that or something similar or your own version of that. We all go through it. None of us are immune. None of us are perfect. And I have not been my best. I have not been my best through this process at all. And I finally chose here towards the end to really look at it for the lessons and the learning and to practice just some new ways of being and some new ways of operating and letting it be okay that things are not in my control all the time. So there's your update. There's your update on what's been going on over here in the Huber household. So let's talk about goats, shall we? Let's talk about goats and showing goats. So I was chatting with my co-founder, Nikki Nash, today, and we were chatting about being more visible, and not just more visible, like, you know, I've got a podcast, you see me on social media, I'm not shy about any of that. I've been around for a long time, and you may be thinking, like, you need to be more visible. Seriously, is that really your issue? And I think it goes beyond being more visible. And what we were really talking about is sharing different parts and pieces of ourselves that maybe we're not talking about or sharing. Because I know for me, oftentimes I have gotten into this place where, and a lot of this is about comfortability and trying to be in control, which I'll talk about with this story as well. A lot of that for me is, okay, if I show up as the smart girl who knows her stuff, who can show you the pathway and the framework, who's gotten results for herself, has gotten results for other people, and I really just stick to the technical and the strategy and the tactic, and I don't really touch the mindset and the emotions and the deeper things with a 10-foot pole, then I don't have to worry about ruffling any feathers. I don't have to worry about rocking any boats. I don't have to worry about pissing someone off. I don't have to worry about anybody coming after me, disagreeing with me, me being wrong, all the things. Basically, it's like I can shield myself from criticism. I can shield myself from judgment. I can shield myself from rejection. And when we are shielding ourselves with these coping mechanisms, because that's really what I had developed, it's like, let's develop a coping mechanism as a shield so I can create this illusion of a bubble around me so that I can't be attacked, criticized, judged, all those things. But when we do that, we are actually playing small. We are preventing ourselves. We're not allowing ourselves to go out and, number one, be activated ourselves so that we can activate other people. And this is something I've been saying for the 13 years that I've been in business. I believe that each one of us, me, you, listener to this, I believe that every single one of us are meant to activate certain people. I believe that God puts us on the pathway with other people. So he puts me on someone's pathway, or he puts someone on my pathway, because that is the person who God's going to work through to activate me, and vice versa. God's going to put people on my pathway that maybe only I can activate, but it's really him activating them through me. And so if we're not sharing our voice, sharing our message, sharing all these other parts of ourselves, we could say, be more vulnerable, let go of control, surrender, walk the pathway, then we're playing this small game and we're actually not making the impact that we could be making. We're not activating people. We're not stimulating ourselves. And so my co-founder and I were having this conversation, and she's a marketing strategist, a marketing genius. And we were talking about different, you know, traits of ourselves, characteristics, personalities, stories, things that have experienced. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, a few years ago now, probably 2018, 2019, I was at a mastermind retreat, and we were over dinner or drinks or something. It was the end of the day, and we were each going around this circle that we were sitting in. I think we were sitting around like a fire or something, and everybody had a drink, and we were sharing stories about ourselves that maybe other people didn't know, or something really interesting about ourselves. And I was sharing a couple of stories, and then I shared my goat showing story. And I remember my coaches at the time, and all the other folks in the mastermind, they were like, why are you not sharing this story all the time? And I'm like, what does a goat show? Me showing goats, like, what does that have to do with business? Why does anybody care about listening to me tell a story about a goat? Really? And they were like, no, no, no. Like, this is literally the best story you've ever told. This makes you so interesting. And so again, Nikki and I were talking this morning and I said, hey, Nikki, I was like, do people really want to hear about this goat story, like this goat showing story? And I was like, how do I, you know, I don't want to just come out here and talk about my goat showing story. How do I connect that back to the listener or the reader or the person who's the ideal client who may want to work with me in the future? And so we were chatting about that. And here I am telling you a story about showing goats. So I did write down some points that I want to make with what I learned from showing goats. So back in the day, if you've been around for a little while, you might know a little bit about my story. I started my career journey as a high school business education teacher. And this part of the story you may not know, although I do talk about this sometimes. I grew up in a very small town in North Carolina. And when I graduated college, I moved back to this very small town and I was living at home with my parents. A lot of college kids do that, right? Like, you might have done that. We have no money. I had no job. And so I moved back in with them, like literally the day after I graduated. And I ended up becoming a long-term sub in an English class. And because I was living at home, I taught at the high school I graduated from. So fast forward a little bit, I got my master's degree in teaching, which meant I could, because I had a business degree for undergrad, I could get a job teaching in the business department. So I got a full-time job teaching in the business department. I'm in grad school full-time. I'm 22 years old. So I was a teacher from 22 to 27 or 28 years old because I left when I had Brighton and I was 28 when I had her. So 5 years or 6 years because I was a long-term sub in an English class for a really long time. That was almost a year. So I met my high school that I graduated from, which means I know everybody. You know, I'm only 4 years removed from graduating from there. So all the teachers, it's like all the same teachers I'm now teaching with that used to be my teacher. My mom's classroom is right beside mine. And I know the principal, assistant principal. I know all the ladies in the office, counselors, janitors, like I know everybody. It was super comfortable to teach at your old stomping grounds. So, you know, I'm close with everybody because everybody knows me. And one day I'm in the office and, you know, at the end of the day, like I would go, you know, you always, when you're a teacher, you become friends with the janitors and all the secretaries and admin in the front office because they know everything that's going on about everything and you want them on your good side. So I'm in the office and I'm chatting with one of the ladies who was, I don't know exactly what to call what she did, but we'll just say administrative secretary. We'll just call it that. And she's married, 3 kids, and they live on a farm and they have goats on their farm. They've got about 150 goats on their farm. And if you know anything about living on a farm, I do not because I did not live on a farm. But if you know anything about living on a farm and you know anything about state fairs, you've probably been to a state fair. We went every year. We would go to the North Carolina State Fair. And my favorite part are the animal exhibits. So you can go see the cows, the goats, the pigs, the chickens, the rabbits, all the animals. They also have shows for the animals. So you can go to the cattle show. You can go to the junior calf show. You can go to the goat show, all the shows, the horse show, because they'll have a horse arena, but you can go see the shows and, you know, you can see which animals are winning best in show and the blue ribbons and which grocery stores are buying which piece of cattle or goat or chicken or turkey or whatever. And oftentimes those animals that are getting best in show or blue ribbons, they are then being purchased by grocery stores. And so the farm is making money when they go to the fair because their animals are being purchased for slaughter and what have you. So we're then eating it at the grocery store. I'm painting a really great picture for you. So I'm in the office and she said, my kids, I remember she said, like, my kids are kind of like, they don't really want to do it anymore. or only one of her kids could come part of the time, and they were showing 7 or 8 goats. She needed an extra pair of hands. I think I was 25. I was 25. Because there's a little interesting piece of the story that I will save until the end. So you gotta listen in, because I'm going to save this interesting piece of the story for the end. So she's like, you want to come show goats at the state fair? And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's a big show. That's a big place to start, showing goats. Okay. Now, mind you, I did not grow up on a farm. I'm from a small town, but I grew up in town. I did not grow up around animals. We did not have pets in the house. We had dogs, but the dogs were in like, I don't know, like a cage thing out, like a big open, like a closed in, big closed in area outside, that we weren't like in the pen playing with them. They were not like cute little puppies that we were playing with. I didn't grow up riding horses. The closest I ever got to goats was a petting zoo, maybe when I was a little kid. So, you know, I don't know anything about a goat. And for whatever reason, she talked me into it. And I remember I didn't just like jump up and say like, yes, oh my gosh, sign me up for the goat show. I want to go show goats. She definitely had to talk me into it. So she talks me into it. I am told the day and time to meet them at their station at the goat arena, where all the goats are being housed, you know, and all the people going to the fair, they can walk around and look at all the goats. And then there's like goat shows throughout. And they show boar goats, which, just go look up boar goats. They're really pretty. They actually sort of look like a dog in a way, sort of, but they're beautiful goats. And so they breed them as well. And so they have their goats, and it's time for the goat show. Now, I have never shown a goat. I have never been around a goat. I have never handled a goat. Think about the people who are there showing their animals at a state fair or any kind of show. Most of those people, I will guarantee you, they currently live on a farm. They have been around whatever animal they are showing since the day they were born. They probably have farm chores, and they are probably showing at more than just a state fair throughout the year, because it's not like the state fair is the only place you show goats or show your animals. There are shows all year long that you can go show your animals at. So, you know, these people are not amateurs. They've done it before. And so all these, I'm back there with all the goats where they're in their little pens. And it's like, literally, I am not kidding when I say, I think I had 7 minutes. I think there was like 7 minutes, because I remember that number for some reason. It's not like I was there all day hanging out with the goats getting lessons. I had 7 minutes from the time I got there for them to show me how to show a goat and to then get out there in the arena and show the goat. And so all these things are going through your mind. And I am someone who, like, I like to know. I like to know the plan. I like to know, like, how do I walk out into the arena? If they call me, where do I go? Where do I step? What do I do? And when it comes to showing goats, I also thought, like, aren't they just looking at the goat? No, they are not just looking at your goat. They are looking at you. It's showmanship, right? Like, our daughter rides horses, and we just did a show this past weekend. She competes in showmanship and equitation. You know what they're looking at in showmanship? They're looking at the rider and how the rider is interacting with the horse and how the horse is being shown. Basically, it's like you're out there showing off, and you're showing off your horse. And then equitation, it's all the technical things, your foot placement, your ankle placement, your feet, your legs, your arms, your hands, your everything. Everything is like super technical. Well, it's kind of like a mashup of both when you're showing a goat. So it's your job as a goat shower to show off the goat. The goal is for you to get a blue ribbon, and then ideally for you to get best in show. And so I get this like 7 minute lesson, and I'm back there in the pens with all the other goats. And you have like this tiny little space to try to practice. And there's like a chain, you know, there's like a rope around their neck. And then there's this short little chain that you hold onto. And goats are really strong. And I think at the time I probably weighed 120 pounds. Maybe 125, but somewhere between 125 and 120. Probably wore a size 2 jean. I remember I had on my cowboy boots. I had on my Wrangler jeans. I had on this brown shirt that had like a cowgirl, gold cowgirl thing on it. My long blonde hair when I was super blonde back in the day. And you got to kind of like muscle this goat because they are strong. Like these goats are bred to look a certain way and it's to be very meaty and muscular. They're beautiful, beautiful animals. And so you've got to, and it's an animal. So when you get out there, you've got to like hold its head up. You've got to hold its neck up. Its two front feet have to be placed in a very particular position. Its two back feet have to be placed in a very particular position because you're trying to show off the loins and the shoulder and the undergirth. Like it's your job to position the goat so that the goat looks good so that you're getting first place and hopefully best in show. So if you don't properly show the goat off in the right way, you could actually have the best goat out there and then not win. So it's a lot of pressure. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm an amateur. I had imposter syndrome because like these people are like, who is this chick? You can clearly tell she did not grow up on a farm. You can clearly tell she does not know what she's doing. And so there's like this imposter syndrome. There's everybody's going to be looking at me because there's also people in the stands. It's not like you're just you showing your goat. And then if they call me out there, where do I go? How do I walk? How close do I get to the person next to me? Like I had so many questions and no time whatsoever to figure it out. So I do it like you're just sort of thrown in there. You are thrown into the ring. So I'm in the lineup. Our class is next. We walk out there and I'm just like, I got to use what I got. I am good looking. I look better than all the other dudes out here because mostly guys out there, men. And I got to show this thing off. I got to show this goat off. I got to show myself off and I got to get the attention. I got to get people to look at me. And I was the prettiest one out there because it's mostly dudes in their Wranglers and their cowboy hats and, you know, farm guys. And I was like, I'm going to use it to my advantage. And that's exactly what I did. And so, you know, this whole story really made me think about how we are when it comes to promoting and showing off our businesses, our offers, our solutions, even ourselves, our brands, our businesses. And I wrote down a list of five things that I want to share with you because, you know, if you go back to the beginning of this whole episode around visibility and exposure and not wanting to be judged, not wanting to be criticized. And when we are put on a stage of any kind or a platform, and you know, this whole story is about being on a stage showing a goat, all the eyeballs are on you. All the eyeballs are on the object that you're showing. In this case, my product or my offer was a goat. And I am the steward of the goat. I am the steward. I am the representation of the brand, of the business. And it's my job to properly show off the goat, in this case, the offer. It's my job to show off the offer to be seen in a way that the judges want to see it, to then give it gold, give it the blue ribbon, give it best in show to, you know, make money for this family that I was showing this goat for. And I think there's so many things that are relevant to our business when it comes to showing anything, right? Like I basically had to sell this goat. I had to sell myself as a great showman of the goat. We got to do the same things with our businesses. And again, wait to the end because there's a little funny story. And then I'm going to tell you what I won. Did I get last place? Did I get first place? Did I get third place? You're going to find out in just a second. So how did I do it with no experience? Never grew up on a farm, never pet a goat at a goat, you know, petting zoo behind a fence. There was a fence between us. Didn't know anything about the proper way to show the goat besides this 7-minute dissertation that I got before and a little practice round. And you just got to go out there and do it. So how did I do it? How did I do it? And then place your bets to see if I won or not. Number one, this is what I did. I followed people who had gone before me. And I said, well, I'm not going to be at the front of the line. I'm going to be somewhere in the middle of the line. Because these dudes have done this before. They're pros. This is not their first rodeo. This is not their first goat show. And I am going to watch what everybody else is doing. And when they move, I move. When they adjust, I adjust. when they walk out of line and they have to go show their goat to the judge, because if sometimes a judge wants to see your goat by itself walk back and forth, there's a proper way to do that, though. You don't just walk out there and just walk with your goat. There's a certain way to walk the goat. And so I'm going to follow the leader. I'm going to follow the people who have done this before. Now, we can connect that back to business, because here's what a lot of us try to do. I'm smart. I'm educated. I know what my skill set is. I know what my gifts are. I know what my craft is. I'm going to be able to figure this out on my own. And then we don't hire the mentors. We don't position ourselves inside of a community who's going to call us higher. We aren't watching the right people. Oftentimes, we are in a position where we are watching someone who has so many phases further along than us in their business that we start acting like them when we need to be looking at people who are right next to us. We need to be looking at people who are right next to us and just a little bit further ahead than us. I mean, honestly, even doing the same thing that we're doing. I wasn't watching the people show the cows. I wasn't watching people show horses. I was watching the people showing the goats that were in my class, showing boar goats. I was looking at the guy to the left of me and the guy to the right of me. I wasn't looking at anybody else but them. How can we translate this to our business, right? Number two, I trusted, it's a big word, I trusted that I'd know what to do when I got out there, and I trusted my instincts. I trusted my intuition. And, you know, again, I'm out there in this arena, have never done this before. I have no frame of reference whatsoever, but I did know enough. And they told me in the 7 minutes, I need to show off certain parts of the goat. And I knew how to hold the head. I knew where the front feet need to be planted, and I knew where the back feet need to be planted. And guess what? It's an animal. So you might be in the arena showing your goat for 10 minutes or 12 minutes or 15 minutes. I don't know how long it was, but it's not like it's 2 minutes. Guess what your goat wants to do? Move. Your goat is not just going to stand there like a statue and like just stay in place after you plant its feet. It's going to move. It's going to shift. And sometimes it shifts a lot and you kind of have to muscle it back in place. And sometimes it shifts ever so slightly and you've got to replant that foot. And I'm not kidding. If you are a centimeter off, it doesn't show the goat in the right way. And so I trusted my instincts. It was almost like I channeled the judge and what the judge wanted to see. And I just trusted that I was capable enough of figuring out where to plant the feet and how to hold the head and where my body position needed to be that would show this goat off in the best light possible. And I just trusted that if they called me out because they wanted me to walk the goat so they could see how the goat walked and they could look at its hind feet, loins, whatever it's called, buttocks from behind, chest as it walked, that I would know which direction to go in, that I would know what to do, that I could connect well enough with what the judge wanted and figure it out. Trust our instincts. We've got to trust our instincts every single day when we show up to record a podcast, to go live on Facebook, to do an Instagram story, to coach a client, to launch. Trust our instincts. That's number two. Number three, I kind of already said this one, but I'm going to say it again. Leverage your good qualities. Leverage your attraction qualities. Leverage your it factor. What is that? Now, in this case, I was a 24-year-old, 25. I was 25, blonde, good looking, very fit. You know, I'm 5'8". And at the time, I think I weighed probably 125, maybe somewhere between 120, 125. So 125. I was toned. I look good in my Wrangler jeans. I'm tall. I look better than all the other dudes that were out there, right? And so I was like, I'm going to use that to my advantage. And you better believe that I did. So this, we got to do the same thing in our businesses. What are the different qualities of you that really make up this it factor? What is it that people really love about you? And it's not just that you're smart. It's not just that you're educated. Those are things. Yes, you're educated. You're smart. You have credentials. But what are some of the intangibles? What are the things that make you really attractive? What are the things that make you relevant? What are the things that make you stand out? And sometimes it's really helpful to talk about this with someone else. Just like I said this morning, I'm talking to my co-founder, Nikki, And she was kind of having to ask me a lot of questions to pull out these different stories of my life that I could be sharing that make me interesting, that make me interesting to someone else, that make me relevant to someone else, where someone else is like, oh, wow, that's so cool. You know, I showed horses or I showed goats too. And if you have ever shown goats, let me know. So amp up those good qualities about yourself. Number four, I took action and I didn't have time to overthink. Now, if I had had time to overthink, I would have been an overthinker because I can be an overthinker because I like to do things right. And there's a fear of doing things wrong because if I do things wrong, I'm going to get criticized. People are going to talk about me. All these eyeballs are on me. And then I look like an idiot, right? It's not like that's ever going to go away either. That is in my mind today. I mean, it's in my mind, not like today, but you know, it's still at 41. That's something that I still work through. It's still a challenge that I have. So when you're going to do something, do not give yourself too much time. Do not delay. Remember, I got there and I had 7 minutes to be shown how to do this. And then it's like, get your tail on the arena, like go line up with your goat. There you go. You're out there now. There's no going back now. I couldn't go back. I couldn't hide. I'm in the middle of the arena. All the eyeballs are on me. All of them. Bleachers are full. Judges are there. Everybody's looking, right? I didn't have time to overthink. I just took action. And I just trusted that I would figure it out when I was out there. You're not going to figure it out sitting around. Was I going to figure it out by sitting around and trying to write down? Okay, let's tell me everything I need. Let me take notes on it. Let me go write down how to hold the head. Let me write down like how fast to walk. No. Was I going to figure it out just by watching somebody else do it? Sure, that would be helpful. But if I had sat there and watched like 4, 5, 6 shows, I would have been in my head so much because I'd have been like, these people are so much better. They have so much more experience. They're all going to know that I've never done this before. Everybody's going to laugh at me. They're going to talk about me behind the scenes, blah, 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 blah. Right. So that, okay. I can get some ideas by watching shows, but still I would have been overthinking. I could have come up with stories about why I need to leave early. Sorry, big mistake. Got to go. How often are we doing that in our lives and in our businesses? Making up reasons why we can't do something right now, right? Oh, I've got to go take care of this. Oh, can't do this because I have to go take care of that. We do it all the time. So I didn't have time to overthink and I just took action. I went out there and I did it. Number five, I repeated. Guess what? I got first place in my very first show, which means when you get first place, then all the other goats who got first place in other heats or other classes, you all go out there together. So round two, it was later in the day. It was the same day. I think I did all my showing on one day at the state fair. Everybody who got first place goes back out there in the ring. So it's all the first place people. Well, guess what? I got best in show. Best in show. My goat's name was Rose. So Rose and I got best in show the very first time I ever showed goats. And it's probably one of the biggest arenas. So one of the biggest arenas you're ever going to show your animals in, it's at your state fair. Now, I'm sure there's like national things you can go to as well, but state fair, that's the biggest one on a state level that you're ever going to show at. It's pretty big deal when it comes to showing livestock, friends. So I got best in show. And of course, you get best in show because it's not just the goat. It's the goat plus who's showing the goat. And it's the same with horses. You know, again, Brighton shows horses. She doesn't get first place every single time. Sometimes she shows her horse better than other times. Sometimes she's got a horse who acts better than other times. Your horse could be a great horse, but if they're going to act up when they're out there, you're not getting first place, right? If you can't tame your horse, if you can't control the horse, you're not getting first place. So I get first place. And of course, they're like, no, I got best in show, not just first place. Of course, guess what? The state fair is not the only place they show their goats. So they want me to keep showing Rose because if I can get best in show at the state fair, what else can I do? And so they kept asking me to show again and again and again. And these are more like local shows close by, not too far away. And I didn't do it for a really long time. It's not like I was showing goats for years. So it was a really fun, short little season for me. But I repeated, I did more shows. I kept doing it and I didn't always win. I didn't always get best in show. Maybe I had an off day. So those are the five. And I think they are so parallel to our businesses. Follow others who've gone before you. Trust that you're going to know what to do and follow your instincts. Use your good qualities and take advantage of them. Leverage those good qualities. Take action without giving yourself the opportunity or the time to overthink. Do not delay. And number five, repeat. Do it again, do it again, do it again, and do it again, right? It's the same advice I'd be giving you about your business. I'm going to give you the same thing if you decide to go show goats. So we got best in show. And if you're still hanging around for this episode, here is the little tidbit. This is the little part of my life that I will give you a little insider, pull back the curtain. So I was 25 at the time when I was showing goats, and the state fair in North Carolina is in October. Well, I met my husband when I was 25 in October. Actually, I'd met Sean years before, like 6 years before I had met Sean. Sean was my brother's personal trainer when my brother was in high school. So I have a brother, he's 4 years younger, and my brother was groomed to play professional baseball. He did play professional baseball, and he was like the superstar at our high school. He was a superstar in our state. He was a superstar in the country at the time. And my parents hired Sean to be my brother's personal trainer when he was 15 years old. So when I would come back home from college, I would go to the gym with my brother because he was still living at home. He was in high school, and Sean would be at the gym. So I knew who Sean was, but you know, Sean's 11 years older than me. It's not like we were, you know, he was just the guy at the gym that my brother happened to train with. And so I knew of him. But when I was 25, my brother was 21 and he was with Sean. They were having dinner and both of us were single. And my brother, I'm a teacher at the high school, and my brother sends me a text message and he goes, "I think you should go out on a date with Sean." And I was like, "Your trainer, Sean? Like, are we talking about your trainer here? Like, you want me to go on a date with your trainer?" And so I was like, "Cool, you can give him my number." My brother asked me for permission to give him my number. So gives my number to Sean. And I also had Sean's number so I would know who was calling me, because I'm a big screener. Like, I don't just pick up the phone when the phone rings. And he called me, I think it was on like a Wednesday, maybe. I think it might have been a Wednesday. And he asked me out on a date that weekend. And I said, I have a goat show, so I'm not going to be able to go Saturday. And this particular goat show was 2 days long. And I said, so I can't go Saturday because I have the goat show, but Sunday, I've got the goat show, but I'm going to have to go home, you know, shower up, get clean, because goats smell really bad, especially male goats. They smell, because male goats pee on themselves. And I was showing female goats, but you smell. They are very smelly animals. So you stink and you're walking in like goat poop, and there's poop all over your shoes. And then if your jeans kind of are a little long, they kind of go under like the back of your boot. And so your jeans are dirty at the bottom because you're walking in dirt and you're just not clean. And you're sweaty because it's hot and you're showing. And it's almost like a workout to show a goat. And so, that's a funny story. I think Sean didn't, I don't think he said this to me on the phone, but he's told me, obviously he told me afterwards, that he thought I was making up that I was showing goats so I could get out of the date. But I really did have to show goats. I was showing goats in Smithfield, North Carolina that weekend. And Sean and I went out that Sunday after my goat show. And I think I met him at 6 or 6:30. And we went out and I think we ate at a Thai restaurant. Yeah, we ate at a Thai restaurant. And then the rest is history, because a couple of weeks later, we were already talking about, I think we're probably going to get married. So thanks to my brother. Thanks to the goats for my life with Sean. So there's a little funny story there. Sean still picks on me about that too. So that is my goat showing story. Now you know a little bit more about me and my, I was going to say love of showing goats, but it was really fun. It was really fun. Definitely got me out of my comfort zone at the time. And that's what we'll end on here. It's, you know, I really want to invite you to look at where have you gotten comfortable? Where have you gotten comfortable and complacent in your business? Are things kind of getting a little bit stagnant? Are things getting a little bit boring? Are things not moving the way that you would like for them to move forward? Are you not making the progress that you really desire to make? And you're starting to wonder, like, why I'm kind of bumping my head up against a wall, like I'm doing things, but it's not really producing what I desire for it to produce at the next level. And you just feel like you're not overly excited by things. You're not overly upset by things. You're just kind of in this neutral place and you're humming along and you're doing the routine and you're showing up every day. And it is what it is, but that's all it is. It is what it is. I want to invite you to look at where you are creating maybe a protective bubble, a protective cocoon, a protective comfort zone around you. And that's what's actually happened here. And I know for me, I've been there more than once and it happens very slowly. It's sort of like the frog in the pot with the hot water that eventually dies because it just stays in the hot water because it's comfortable. So it's not boiling, but it happens slowly and eventually it dies. It's kind of what I have experienced in my life. And I experienced that relatively recently too. And I didn't decide to go show goats to get out of my comfort zone. I actually decided to get back into playing competitive tennis to get out of my comfort zone because I love tennis and I love being competitive. And it's been 16 years. But you don't always have to do something just in your business to get yourself out of your comfort zone. You can do things in your personal life to expand your comfort zone. Because if you go do something in your personal life to expand your comfort zone, it's going to trickle into every other area of your life. It will trickle into your business. In fact, my tennis coach the other day said, you're in your comfort zone when you play tennis. You're trying to control everything about the racket, even how you hold the racket. And I was like, I can't believe you just said those two words to me because that's like a metaphor for what I've been diving really deep on, working through and healing in my own life. So I know that if you choose something just to get out of your comfort zone, do something that you wouldn't normally do in your life and do it frequently, it is going to have a side effect, which will be a positive side effect inside of your business. So think about what that is and go do it. Don't overthink it. Just go do it. I decided, hey, it's going to be tennis. I went and found a tennis coach, hired her, boom, had lesson 4 days later. Now I'm having lessons every single week. Right? So just go do that thing and expand your comfort zone. Expand your comfort zone. And then naturally over time, you'll start expanding your comfort zone inside your business. So I think we get so locked into like everything's about my business. And sure, maybe you're in your comfort zone in your business, but go do something outside your comfort zone outside of your business and see how it positively impacts your business. All right. With that, last thing. If you are someone who is transitioning in your business from one-on-one coaching, you're at capacity, you've been coaching people one-on-one for a while, and you want to open up more time in your schedule, you want to leverage your skills, leverage your earning potential, leverage your impact, and you want to transition into leading group coaching programs, it's one of the most fabulous things I've ever done in my career as an entrepreneur. I love coaching groups. I've been teaching and coaching groups since I was, you know, a high school teacher, honestly. I want to invite you to the Group Coaching Mastery Workshop Series that starts on Monday, March the 11th. It's 5 days. It's totally complimentary. And it's great for you if you're in that transition into groups. It is not for you if you have never coached a day in your life. You have no clue what you're going to start a business on. You don't know what your purpose is. You don't know who your ideal client is. None of that. You should not be coaching groups of people. You should be starting with one-on-one. This is for people who are transitioning legitimately into leveraging groups, or you might currently be running a group and it just has not really gotten off the ground. And so I would still consider you to be in the very beginning stages of group work and creating a business model that is based on group coaching. That is who Group Coaching Mastery Workshop Series is for. There's a link in the show notes. Get yourself registered for that. I want to see you there. And share it with at least one person. Invite a friend who's at that same stage as well. All right. I will see you there. I hope you love the story of the goats. And until next time, remember to design a business and life that is built to last. Thank you so much for tuning into the Built to Last show. If you're loving the show and have gotten any value out of it for your business and life, would you mind doing two things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Our listener reviews helps us get more visibility and reach more people just like you. Help us make a difference for more entrepreneurs by helping them grow their businesses in a way that aligns with their life, family, and core values. Thank you so much for being part of our community and tuning into the show each week.